Good morning. Today is Wednesday, March 19th, 2025. This is a regular meeting of the Abatement Appeals Board. I would like to remind everyone to please turn off all electronic devices. The first item on the agenda is roll call. Vice President Newman.
Here.
Commissioner Alexander Toot.
Here.
Commissioner Ming.
Here.
And Commissioner Williams.
Here.
President Chavez is excused, and we have a quorum. And next, we have our land acknowledgement.
The Abatement Appeals Board acknowledges that we are on the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. As the indigenous stewards of this land and in accordance with their traditions, the Ramaytush Ohlone have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as for all peoples who reside in their traditional territory. As guests, we recognize that we benefit from living and working on their traditional homeland. We wish to pay our respects by acknowledging the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytush Ohlone community and by affirming their sovereign rights as First Peoples.
Okay, thank you. Next, for any members of the public that may be listening in, the public comment call-in number is 415-655-0001, and the access code is 2667-272-9921. And to raise your hand for public comment on a specific agenda item, press star 3 when prompted by the meeting moderator. And also, the WebEx webinar password is 0319. And next on our agenda is item B, approval of minutes. Discussion and possible action to adopt the minutes for a special meeting held on, it was a regular meeting on January 15, 2025. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
And is there any public comment on the minutes? Seeing none, are all commissioners in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And the minutes are approved. Next, before we get to our appeals, we have an oath. Will all parties giving testimony today please stand and raise your right hand? Anyone who's testifying, please stand and raise your right hand.
Does testimony include public comment?
No. Just regular. Okay, thank you. Do you swear the testimony you're about to give is a truth to the best of your knowledge?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. You may be seated. First, we have case number 6943, 1416 Powell Street. Complaint number 20230162, owner of record and appellant, Chak Lung and Annie Yu Sue Truss. Action requested by appellant. Appellant appeals the October 17, 2024 order of abatement and assessment of costs. And the staff can come forward, but prior to giving your report, I just wanted to state for the record that the department will present their position first, and then the appellant will present. Each side has 7 minutes. Then there will be 3 minutes public comment, and then 3 minutes rebuttal for the staff and the appellant. Okay, thank you.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Good morning, commissioners. My name is Mauricio Hernandez. I'm representing Code Enforcement, Chief Building Inspector. The case number is 2023-01642. For property address 1466 Powell. The case summary is, on September 15, 2018, the subject property was identified as part of the mandatory soft story program. Per the requirements of the San Francisco Building Code and the San Francisco Existing Building Code, property owners were mandated to complete all necessary retrofit work to enhance seismic safety and obtain final sign-off, including the certificate of final completion issued by the Department of Building Inspection. The current violation status is the owner of the project's has failed to complete all the required work, including obtaining the final sign-off and certificate of final completion. As a result, the building remains in violation of the San Francisco Building Code regarding earthquake safety. The property is specifically non-compliant with the SFEBC 505E. The enforcement was taken action is January 20, 2023. There was an initial notice of violation issued. May 17, 2023, a final warning notice was issued. August 1st, 2024, the case was referred to a director's hearing. August 28, 2024, the case was heard at the director's hearing with a 30-day advisement. October 17, 2024, an order of abatement was issued. The permit history for the property is permit 2015-09157040, which complies with the soft story retrofit program, seismic retrofit, and ADA upgrade on the entry ground floor. The last inspection for this property was a pre-final inspection conducted on March 24, 2022, with the only remaining item was to obtain a final signature from Public Works. There was two revisions obtained. One of them was related to an ADA door, which actually was encroaching into the public right-of-way. The order of abatement and appeal. The order of abatement was issued on October 17, 2024, due to the continued noncompliance. The property owner has filed the appeal. The appellant requests the property owner has submitted the appeal requesting the following conditions: vacating the order of abatement, reduction of fees due to the owner obtaining a permit and complying with seismic retrofit requirements, stating that the work has been effectively completed with only remaining steps being a final sign-off from the Department of Public Works, asserting that the Department of Public Works has withheld the sign-off on the seismic retrofit project because during the course of retrofit, the building, a tenant installed a double glazed door at the entrance, which encroaches upon the city sidewalk. The current status and recommendation, the property remains in violation, although the owner has obtained a permit to comply with the mandatory soft story program. Full compliance is only achieved upon obtaining the certificate of final completion. Additionally, the building falls under the guidelines of Tier 4, which was required to fully comply by September 15, 2021. The staff recommendations is to uphold the order of abatement and impose all assessment of cost. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And our appellant is attending remotely. It's Mr. Jason Sue. Okay. Mr. Sue, you're unmuted. Do you hear us? Hello, Mr. Sue. Do you hear? Can you hear
us?
Yes. Hi. And I'd also like to administer the oath for you. Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give is the truth to the best of your knowledge?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and you have 7 minutes for your presentation, and then later you will have 3 minutes rebuttal. So you begin when you're ready.
Sounds good. Before I present, I just want to clarify that I'm Jason Sue. I represent my father, Chocolate Sue. I'm an attorney who represents him, but he's also my father. He's unavailable to be here today because first, he doesn't speak English, and second, he doesn't know how to remotely dial in. But before this hearing, I did get approval that I will be representing him here today. So there's facts that staff has already presented that I just want to echo. First is that the building has effectively been seismically retrofitted, so it is not a public nuisance in terms of it. The building itself is seismically retrofitted, so it doesn't pose a risk to earthquake safety. So the purpose of 505E has effectively been accomplished. What happened was during the seismic retrofitting process, which we received the permit for long ago, and we entered into a contract with the contractor in 2020. So before the deadline to seismically retrofit the building, the contractor entered into a separate agreement with the restaurant tenant without our knowledge to perform extensive renovations to the restaurant, part of which included installing double glass doors as the entrance, which then it was discovered that encroach upon the city sidewalk. So the Department of Public Works has withheld their final sign-off. But the DBI has, throughout this process, inspected the building in signed off that the building was seismically retrofitted. So the final step really is to get DPW to sign off on this in order to close this file. But we've tried to work with our tenant to have the tenant acknowledge that they're in the wrong and that they should coordinate with us, collaborate with us to fix the issue. But the tenant has just been very difficult. So as a result, we have had to file a lawsuit against the tenant just for him to allow us to fix this issue. And we even obtained a permit for the tenant to fix the sidewalk encroachment, to redo the ADA doors, but the tenant does not want to fix it. The trial for this case is set in October, so we are hoping that everything will be resolved by then. But as far as from my father is concerned, he's been doing everything right. He got the permit. He hired the contractor to do the seismic retrofitting. The building has been seismically retrofitted. And this final step, we just need to work with our tenant to resolve. So we're hoping that this board recognizes that my father has done everything he can, that the building itself is not a public nuisance, which is the basis of the order of abatement. And so this board should either set aside that order of abatement or perhaps continue this matter until the end of the year so we have an opportunity to work with the tenant. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Next, we will have public comment. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay. Seeing none, is there any remotely? Okay, then there's no public comment. Staff rebuttal? Staff have rebuttal?
There's no rebuttal.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Sue, did you have anything else to add?
That's all for me, but I welcome any questions that this board has.
Okay, thank you. So then there's a deliberation by the board, or any questions?
Question for Mr. Liu. Is there a contention on your part that the Department of Building Inspection made an error of any sort?
Okay. You're unmuted, Mr. Su.
Oh, that's for me?
Yes.
So, with respect to the order of abatement, is there an error?
Yeah.
Yes. So the basis for the order of abatement is that, let me just pull up the order of abatement really quick. The basis for the order of abatement is that the structure constitutes a public nuisance. I don't think the facts in this case supports that finding that the building is a public nuisance because the building itself has been seismically retrofitted. So that's the error that I would point out from the order of abatement.
Yes.
Okay. I have a couple questions. To the staff first, is this permit still active? It's been kind of on the books for a long time, or has it expired?
No, per my understanding, is active.
It's the permit is active.
And I just want to point out that the permit is actually content with the progress of the work, and we understand that there is an issue with Public Works given the approval.
Yeah.
However, we are mandated to comply with this ordinance. I mean, we've actually gone through a lot of cases where we've, you know, provide enough time for the compliance and, you know, part of the compliance is to actually get a full certificate of final completion.
Understood. What is your recommendation?
My recommendation?
Yes, what's the staff recommendation?
I mean, for us, it's kind of tough because, I mean, for us, we're looking for compliance. He does have a point. There is no life safety concerns that we actually have. I mean, we will be okay if, you know, you guys, you can recommend to return it back to staff and we monitor the case. You know, we're open to that. So.
Thank you.
Can I ask why was a seismic retrofit piece coupled with this ADA door issue? Like, why are these two issues connected? If it were a standalone and just the seismic retrofit issue, would sign off be provided?
So sometimes there's concerns where the work starts because all the seismic work is actually on the ground floor.
Okay.
And sometimes the commercial spaces are affected where, you know, they have to be a moment frame installed in that area. And like, you know, the owners stated, there was an issue with another tenant improvement permit that actually kind of got connected to this one because of the encroachment of the door. So sometimes it happens with that. We've had incidents where there's actually mixed-use buildings where ADU permits are also going at the same time. And we have shear walls that are actually connected to the ADU. So there are scenarios where we encounter these issues.
And in this case, do you see these two issues as connected in that same sort of way?
I believe so.
Okay.
All right, commissioners, I'd like to deliberate. I think returning it to the staff and having it monitored maybe for like a year, I think that'd be an appropriate position for us to take on this. And I think certainly it's aligned with the purposes of the building code, and there's no stated impact on health or safety or any of that. So that would be my position initially, and would a year be sufficient for time to monitor?
Yeah, and we can also work with the owner and do another walkthrough to make sure that the building is still safe and comply with all current code.
I tend to agree with you, Commissioner Williams. Everything I've seen here shows me an owner that has made great efforts to try and comply, and that there are technical issues that essentially have caused this notice of violation, and there are other issues at play between the tenant and the property owner, and it seems like they're working through those right now. So I'm inclined to also give time for them to work that out.
Mr. Liu, is a year sufficient time to monitor and return? Would that be sufficient for you as the appellant?
Is he up? Can you unmute him?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I certainly hope that this will be resolved in a year. I think 1 year sounds good for now.
Want to make
all right, motion. I move to return this case to the staff for monitoring for 1 year, and then could that be the order there? Okay.
And to return in
1 year to check the status of this case. Return it to the AAB in 1 year to check the status of the case.
Second.
Okay, so there's a motion by Commissioner Williams and a second by Vice President Newman. I'll do a roll call vote on the motion. Vice President Newman?
Yes.
Commissioner Alexander Toot?
Yes.
Commissioner Ming?
Yes.
And Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. That motion carries unanimously. Okay, next we have case number 6945, 820 Laguna Honda Boulevard. Complaint number 20219-4157. Owners of record and appellant, William O'Keefe. Action requested by appellant. Appellant appeals the November 8th, 2024, order of abatement and assessment of costs. Staff.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioners. Again, my name is Mauricio Hernandez. Chief Building Inspector of Code Enforcement. Complaint number 2021-84157 for 820 Laguna Honda Boulevard. The case summary, a complaint was filed with this department on November 9, 2021 regarding an unpermitted addition at the rear of the building. A site inspection conducted on January 25, 2022 confirmed the presence of an addition that does not appear on the soundboard map or on the 1993 aerial photographs. The unpermitted addition is 3 stories in height with an approximate depth of 10 feet and spanning the width of the building, approximately 25 feet. A review of city records did not yield any building permits associated with the addition. The enforcement actions are as follows. Initial notice, the property owner was issued a notice of violation on January 25, 2022, required them to file a building permit application to legalize, modify, or remove the unpermitted addition. Obtaining planning department approval upon permit issuance and complete all necessary inspections to close this complaint. A final warning issue was issued on 2023 as the owner failed to comply with the corrective action timeline. A director hearing, the case was actually scheduled for director's hearing on July 2nd, 2024, where the owner was granted a 30-day continuance. The case was reheard on August 20th, 2024, and the owner was given a 60-day advising period to obtain the necessary permits, complete all required work, including final inspections, and pay all code enforcement section fees. The order of abatement was issued as the owner failed to comply with these timelines. The order was issued on November 8th, and then the appeal was issued on the appeal was filed on November 20th. The permit status as of today is there's a permit application filed for a site permit 2022-0503-449. Was submitted to comply with this notice to legalize the unpermitted 10-foot horizontal addition as part of the code enforcement case. There's also a planning code enforcement case on this case. The proposal includes a new steel and glass deck and reference a variance application. There was also a variance approved for this property. So the last update on February 21, 2025, the permit remains in final stages and is undergoing all the approval process. The appellant is appealing the order of abatement and is requesting the extension into May 29, 2027 to complete all the project in compliance with the variance decision. Current status and recommendation, the property remains in violation while a permit application is in progress. Staff recommends to uphold the order of abatement and impose assessment and cost. Thank you.
Thank you. And the appellant can come forward.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is David Pearl. There we go. Can you hear me now? Perfect. Thank you. Good morning, commissioners. My name is David Pearl. I'm an attorney at Clark Hill, and I represent the appellant and property owner, Mr. William O'Keefe. I'd like to discuss today what you didn't actually hear from the commission or from the planning department, and that was any exercise of discretion whatsoever, nor a complete recitation of what actually happened here. This property was cited for noncompliance back in 2022. Less than 4 months later, Mr. O'Keefe submitted a permit to legalize the addition, and he has been stuck in an unending wave of bureaucratic hang-ups that have prevented him from even getting the permit issued. For more than 2 years, the permit was completely stalled through discretionary review by the building department and by the zoning administrator. Those discretionary reviews were not taken and approved, and then the variance was not issued until 2024, specifically in May and June, respectively. After the variance was approved, Mr. O'Keefe initially submitted an appeal of the variance decision, which was requiring to him to remove a small balcony on the second floor of his house. He withdrew that appeal in an effort to try and comply with the deadlines to meet the second director's hearing, but couldn't. By the time we came back to the second director's hearing and requested a further extension, at that point, DBI said all they could do and would do is extend out the compliance deadline by 90 days. On September 26, 2024, Mr. O'Keefe submitted site plans in conformity with the variance application that had been approved, as well as the DR that had already been approved. Despite submitting site plans, 2 months later, this notice of violation was issued. The notice of violation required that Mr. O'Keefe not only obtain a permit, but complete the permit in 30 days, so by December 5th. DBI didn't even assign a planner to the site permit until January 23rd, 45 days after DBI's own deadline to finalize the permit had already expired. Mr. O'Keefe has been working for years to try and get this permit approved. He wants nothing more than to be done with it. But the administrative hang-ups are what have prevented this from going through, prevented any forward progress from being made. And despite the fact that Mr. O'Keefe has been trying to comply with this, he now faces outstanding fines and penalties in excess of $5,000 because of arbitrarily imposed deadlines that DBI made that are not only arbitrary, but literally impossible for Mr. O'Keefe to comply with. In addition to the outstanding penalties that already exist, because there's already a notice of an order of abatement and it couldn't be complied with, as of today, DBI is in a position where, if they wanted, under the building code, they could seek to impose fines in an amount of approximately $500 a day for noncompliance. So right now, Mr. O'Keefe could be looking at fines totaling $52,000. All because he can't finalize a permit that DBI has had for 3.5 years. I think in light of what you've seen, there is absolutely no basis whatsoever for this order of abatement to stand, nor the deadlines in it. And with that, I think I've concluded everything I have to say on this.
Hey, thank you. It's public comment now on this item. And public comment is 3 minutes for each person.
I'm not going to fool with this overhead, so can I ask you to pass these out so they have the photo?
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. How much time do I have?
3 minutes.
3 minutes, okay. I just want to make sure you have the photos in front of you. Thank you. Commissioners, my name is Tony Hall. I live at 20 Rockaway Avenue, one of the properties that has been most affected by the unpermitted additions to 820 Laguna Honda. Now, counsel for the appellant tries to paint the owner of 820 as a victim here. Nothing could be further from the truth. Here's the facts. In around 2000, the owner of 820 or the owner of 812 Laguna Honda complained to our neighborhood group that the three-story unpermitted addition to the rear of 820 Laguna Honda by Mr. O'Keefe blocked all sunlight to her kitchen and backyard. We were told by the contractor then, who was not the contractor, stated in the brief, that such permits were on file to legalize the construction. After more construction took place, illegal construction, unpermitted construction took place in the rear yard of 820 Laguna Honda, multiple complaints were filed. Counsel for the appellant here doesn't tell you that despite the multiple complaints that were on file, the owner of 820 then proceeded to erect an unpermitted balconies, two of them, one the total width of the rear of the house and one on the side of the house, further intruding upon the open space of 812. These balconies were built on the illegal three-story extension some 13 years after that original three-story extension was built. The balconies were put on some 10 to 13 years after. Council doesn't tell you that the owner of 820 then erected an 18.5-foot spite fence between my property and his property that ruined our side garden. The photo of the balconies from our master bedroom window is the first photo on the packet. You might take a look at that. Council doesn't tell you about the 18.5-foot spite fence. That's the next photo. Take a look at that. That was done despite all the commits on file. Council here doesn't tell you that I, along with 22 concerned neighbors and two neighborhood associations, filed for a discretionary review of all the work done at 820 Laguna Honda after the owner of 820 submitted plans for a new monster deck that would have come within 5 feet of all my master bedroom windows and encompassed most of what was left of the rear yard open space requirement. Council doesn't tell you that the planning or DR decision was conditioned upon the removal of the balconies because of invasion of privacy. Counsel also falsely states that I harassed Mr. O'Keefe. Nothing could be further from the truth. Before the variance hearing, an employee of O'Keefe trolled the neighborhood and harassed up to a dozen neighbors who objected to the unpermitted construction with threatening phone calls, email statements, and bogus building violations. The appellants had 25 years to correct this situation. It has to be stopped. Okay. And I implore you to keep the abatement going. Do not lift it. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Next speaker.
Good morning, commissioners, everyone. My name is Robert Coleman, known as Bobby Coleman. I'm about a 40-year resident of San Francisco, and I've been tracking this case in the public interest. And I was there at the Planning Commission hearing and tracked the responses of the zoning administrator. I'm here also to speak in support of the staff recommendation that the abatement process be, continuing as it is, to reject some of the assertions of the appellant to vacate the order. That seems to be really extreme in this case. You mentioned earlier in the prior item that you see property owners who are endeavoring to be in compliance, and of course the opposite can also be true. In this case, the Planning Commission and the zoning administrator who was present at the prior hearing were actually kind of appalled at some of the background of the case. And that's because of the length of time of the non-compliant aspects, but also because of the ghost of criminality that was overhanging this case. And I'm referring specifically to the building inspector Bernie Curran, who was incarcerated for signing off on some of these permits. So what happened was that they took a very, very modest view of what could be done now. And the idea that that would be overturned by vacating an abatement order is very noxious to the public interest. I think it's well within the power of this commission to continue the process of a bona fide enforcement mechanism for some very egregious encroachments. And this minimal thing about the delays of certain city agencies shouldn't give rise to the vacating of the order. That would be a very extreme finding that would undermine, make moot, many of the enforcement processes. I think also the nature of the case is important to recognize the clean hands aspect and the absence thereof. I mean, without getting into anything personal, it's really important to recognize that some of the characterizations of the case as presented by counsel were untrue. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Matt Gonzalez. I'm a former supervisor, city supervisor, and attorney in the public defender's office. I took the half day off so I could testify here. I testified in front of the commission as well, the Planning Commission, and I was very impressed with what they tried to do. They didn't just focus on the fact that the work was done without permits. They really tried to step back and say, well, what would have been approved had Mr. O'Keefe been able to get permits and done it properly? And that's even though they really rejected the various excuses they heard about believing he had permits and things like that. And the real issue is that what Mr. O'Keefe allowed to happen is he allowed a construction to take place that was almost like a rectangular box going away from his property. And one side of that, one corner of it, really encroaches on the neighbors. It was very clear that that would not have been approved, even if he had done everything properly. And that's why the zoning administrator came in and made the recommendations and order that he did. I think the appellants have raised an interesting issue about, well, you know, the abatement has a time period which they cannot meet. But I think you should keep in mind that that short period of time reflects the frustration that the commission had with the conduct of Mr. O'Keefe. And I think that you could fashion a remedy to address that that's different than what the appellants are seeking. They're seeking quite a bit of time. You could, for instance, say for that 30-day period that you will toll or stay the running of that clock for any period of time that he does not have permits to, you know, take care of the abatement or what have you. You could, if you have the authority, you could go in there and extend that for a relatively short period of time that's more reasonable than what's being sought. But this idea of setting aside the abatement, I think, is really a perilous path to go down, because this has been going on for so long. And you have what's clearly a set of rules that were not followed. And for you, the bigger question for the city is, what can residents expect when they're seeking permits or their neighbors are seeking permits, right? You want people to have confidence that there are going to be rules that are going to be followed, and when they're not followed, there are consequences. And if the consequences are that you have to act quickly to abate a situation, then you've kind of brought it upon yourself. Thank you.
Good morning. My name's Karen Tarantola. I am a resident of West Portal. I'm also currently the president of the Greater West Portal Neighborhood Association, better known as GWAPNA. 11 months ago, I spoke before the Planning Commission to state the strong conviction of our community that the long-running actions of Mr. O'Keefe in expanding the footprint of his property should be corrected. The outcome, as we know, was for the zoning administrator to order a very minimal correction to the unpermitted and illegal three-story construction into the rear yard of his property. Now, Mr. O'Keefe is continuing his efforts to avoid complying with this very generous decision. In the abatement appeal, section 2, submitted by the owner's attorney, the statement is, the only thing that's certain is that DBI's review of the documents for a building permit typically takes months, but his request is for the requirement to be extended for years. If that delay is granted, the deadline would be May 29th, 2027, at which time the variance decision, if granted, would sunset, and Mr. O'Keefe could continue his endeavors to game the system. It's very clear that his intentions are to kick the can down the road until everyone else is exhausted from having to deal with his defiance of the building code. For the property owner to now point the blame for his noncompliance on the Department of Building Inspection is unconscionable. It seems extremely unlikely that for over 20 years, Mr. O'Keefe has been unaware of the building codes of our city. For him to now point the finger at DBI is frankly disingenuous. He should be very pleased that he's allowed to keep the illegally constructed rear extensions with only the modest changes of removing balconies. The West Portal community is asking for fair and equitable treatment for any resident dealing with the Planning Department and DBI. Mr. O'Keefe has flaunted the rules for way too long. We're asking that he not be allowed to continue to break the law and this matter be resolved expeditiously. Thank you.
Good morning, board members. My name is Christopher Hall. I am the brother of Tony Hall, and I'm also an attorney, so I have ethical duties. So I want to submit the following. The order that was initiated back in November should stay in place. It should not be vacated. Mr. Coleman brought up a very good point. He was a witness, I think the first witness who appeared right after Tony. And that is, Mr. O'Keefe is not coming before this board with clean hands. And I'll tell you why. The attorney for Mr. O'Keefe has pointed out that it's been 20 and a half years, that this problem has been going on. That means he's at an addition to the rear of his property at 820 Laguna Honda numerous years ago without a permit, never took out any permit whatsoever. The attorney points out that there's no reasonable basis whatsoever for the enactment of these balconies. They should be replaced, he says. There's no reasonable basis. Well, I submit the basis that they should be removed is because it's an invasion of Mr. Hall, Tony Hall's privacy. If you look at that photograph that Mr. Hall submitted, the encroachment of the rear balcony, one of them, is set about 10, 15 yards from the master bedroom of Tony's bedroom. I mean, if one was to come out there and have a party, they would be encroaching, looking directly into the rear of his property, Tony's bedroom. And that's not fair. That's a complete invasion of privacy. This was brought up in the past. So I think that's a misleading statement also by the attorney to say, well, there's small balconies. You have one to the rear of Mr. O'Keefe's property, and you have another one to the right of Mr. O'Keefe's property that kind of zeroes in on the kitchen area of the neighbor. So I think Mr. O'Keefe, through his attorney, they're not coming in here with clean hands. This has been going on for quite a while, and it's another delay tactic that they're using to try to skip the enforcement of penalties. So finally, I'd submit the order of abatement should not be vacated. Penalties should start, financial penalties should start being enforced. And if necessary, this case should be referred to the district attorney's office for prosecution because he's
You can wrap up your comments,
system.
Sir.
All right. Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the board. My name is Peter Fatou. I've been a realtor in San Francisco, a broker for 45 years, and I'm a member of the church community on Rockaway Drive. And as I came out a few years ago from a service, I was staring at this humongous illegal addition from Laguna Honda Street facing the church. I can tell you as a realtor that woe to those property owners who face Mr. O'Keefe's property. If this illegal addition is allowed to remain, those property values will absolutely drop to a value they don't understand that the paying public will buy a property for to face that monstrosity. As it stands right now, if I were to sell a house that faces the backyard of Mr. O'Keefe, the first question a buyer is going to say is, what am I staring at? And nobody's going to pay top dollar while that remains. And I urge this board to endorse the abatement and bring this to a conclusion. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Chris Schroeder. I recognize this property, 820 Laguna Honda. Looks like on permit number 2016-0517-7615, My name is on there as the inspector. Bernie Curran took over this job. I reported this to O'Riordan.
He moved, he left. Yeah. If there's no further public comment, none in person, none remotely, and that concludes a public comment. We now have rebuttal, staff rebuttal.
I think the only rebuttal is I just want to make clear that the penalties are not $500 a day. That's only when the case is actually referred to city attorney as a litigation process. But at this point, we're only focusing on the fees that are actually assessed per the time and material that the department has spent. I also want to point out that from the first notice of violation to the final warning notice, we have provided extensive time to comply with this notice, and even to the order of abatement. It's about 3 years that we've had the case either on hold or either working with the owners, because we understand variance. There's variance process that we don't have control over.
Okay, thank you. Does the appellant have rebuttal?
Thank you, commissioners. I think what you've heard today exemplifies why there has been so much delay. You have heard half a dozen people come up before you and complain about the scope of a permit that has already been substantively approved by the zoning administrator and by the with discretionary review. You are hearing complaints about things that the time to appeal has long passed. We are trying to get this permit done and completed. And I would remind the commission of the actual time frame and what happened here. Well, you've heard a lot about delays. The fact of the matter is that a notice of violation was issued on January 25th, 2022. Less than 4 months later, Mr. O'Keefe submitted the permit that is still pending. It is the permit that still has not even been approved for a site plan by DBI. There is simply nothing that Mr. O'Keefe could do to move this matter forward faster. He submitted a permit timely. He is trying to submit applications and permits. We did not even have approval for the preliminary outlines of a site plan until the variance decision was issued, until the directors took discretionary review of the permit. We want to get this done, but as you have seen, there is a tremendous backlash that is coming at every single turn about things that largely have nothing to do with anything before you. You've heard complaints about things that happened in fences in 2013, complaints that were filed against the property in 2016. Every single one of those complaints was timely abated. The vast majority of them were inspected, and the city inspectors found nothing. There was no sign-off. The complaint was closed immediately. We are simply trying to get a permit done. And what you have not heard is any response to the quite literally impossible deadlines that have been imposed. We want this permit done, and we want it to move along as fast as possible. But Mr. O'Keefe should not be punished for the fact that he is unable to even get sign-off for a site permit from DBI because it has been held up through administrative proceedings that keep going on. Our concern about why this permit needs to be abated is because, or the notice of abatement needs to be vacated, is because, as you are seeing today, at every single turn imaginable, there will be pushback, there will be delays, and there are delays and pushback that slow down the administrative process that are outside of our control. And therefore, there is nothing that Mr. O'Keefe can do to even make it go faster. If we could expedite this permit and be done with it now, that's certainly what we'd want to do. But with no end in sight, no ability to push it forward, this is order of abatement should be vacated. Thank you.
Commissioners, deliberation.
Please go first.
All right.
I'll get space.
All right. Well, so this is a little bit, I think this is more deliberation. I'll wait for the questions, but So a couple of initial thoughts I've had after hearing the presentations and reviewing the submission. So to me, it seems undisputed that Mr. O'Keefe constructed this addition without attempting, in any manner, to obtain any permit or comply with the law in whatsoever in prior to conducting the construction. And based on Mr. O'Keefe's written submission, I'm not really persuaded there was any justification for that, particularly because there's the neighborly disputes with the complaints from DBI. So I was trying to hear some reason why Mr. O'Keefe would have, not been aware that of the need to obtain the permits or something in that regard. But considering the, the history between the neighbors, I that doesn't seem plausible at all. I haven't heard any. That's the initial part. So as applied to whether or not the department had a substantial error in issuing the notice of violation, I didn't hear any grounds to conclude that there was a substantial error in issuing the notice of violation, which is usually my first step in the analysis here with the abatement appeals process, is to determine whether there was a substantial error on the part of the department. And that doesn't seem to be disputed, that there was an error at all from the department in issuing the notice of violation. Now, going to the next part of the analysis for me would be, okay, should we consider modifying or just adjusting the order, or reducing or revoking the issuance of cost? I didn't really hear a compelling reason for that, considering, there was, from what I heard, a willful violation of the building code. Normally, when I consider whether to modify or whether to propose a modification, I look at, some equitable grounds for doing so. And of course, we can't even consider it unless there's not going to be an impact on, public health and safety. And we've heard public comment from many neighbors here attesting to the impact that the additions have had. So with that said, I perhaps could hear something else, from the department. It seems to me that the department's taking the position that the abatement is necessary because of the impact on the community and on public health and safety. So unless I hear differently, then that's sort of the position. So with that said, I don't really see any grounds for me at this point to, not uphold the order as requested by the department.
I have a question. Maybe it's for staff. It says that the current permit application includes a new steel and glass deck, and then it references the planning variance. But then my understanding is the planning variance granted the rear addition on the following conditions: that both balconies be removed. So is that, is the permit showing the with the balcony going against that planning variance determination?
I wasn't able to actually get access to the plans, so I wasn't able to review the plans, but mm-hmm. I'm just going based on the notes, the planning and the routing stages, and it seems like planning has approved the variance, and to remove the third floor deck at the area will be removed. Mm-hmm. It seems like, once we get that permit issued, and this is just a site permit, so once we get this permit issued, and then we can confirm that what areas are going to be removed and what areas are going to be actually approved.
So the permit that's been submitted is one to remove the existing balcony.
My understanding is there's going to be a portion of some items that are going to be removed.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you want to do that? That's if you want to ask the question.
I don't have any questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Pearl, will you please add some context to that?
Thank you very much, Commissioner Diaz. So with respect to the deck, what originally happened was once the notice of violation was issued, Mr. O'Keefe submitted the initial permit back in 2022. That permit did several things. Number one, it did have a proposed large addition of a rear deck at the ground floor level of the property. In going through the permitting process, Mr. O'Keefe's neighbors vehemently objected to the construction of that new deck. In an attempt to try and work with Mr. O'Keefe's neighbors and resolve their concerns and complaints, Mr. O'Keefe removed that deck from the permit submission process at all and completely removed it. With that proposed deck removed, that's the permit that went before the for the variance application and subject to discretionary review. Now, the property itself is a three-story property. The bottom level is below grade, so really it's the second level. That's the grade, the ground level. And on the top floor, which is the second floor of the property, there are two very small, they're sort of little balconies. They're about 2 feet wide or so by about 5 to 7 feet long, depending on where they are in the property. I think one's a little bigger. And those are the decks that are in question, and that those are the decks that the zoning administrator required be removed. The current plans that have been submitted and are subject to the pending site permit have those small little decks and balconies, whatever you'd like to call them, removed. But the issue of talking about some large deck or addition, it never existed in any plans that were reviewed by the zoning administrator because they were removed in an attempt to try and work with Mr. O'Keefe's neighbors. But as you can see, that didn't work.
If there are no more, do we have more questions or would we like to continue deliberation? I'm inclined to agree with Commissioner Williams. I see nothing here that shows me that there was any error in the issuance of the NOV by the department.
Is there a motion?
I concur with the other commissioners. I think that this is different than the case we heard before significantly because of the action was this is instigated by the homeowner who did the illegal construction, and you know the appeals in the legalization process. But you know these constitute life safety issues and a clear violation of the building code, and I think we should uphold it.
Move to uphold the order and assessment of costs.
There's a motion by Commissioner Williams and a second by Commissioner Ming to uphold the order of abatement, including the assessment of costs. I'll do a roll call vote on the motion. Vice President Newman?
Yes.
Commissioner Alexander Toot?
Yes.
Commissioner Ming?
Yes.
And Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries unanimously. Okay, thank you. Okay, next, we have item D, general public comment. Members of the public may address the board on matters that are within the board's jurisdiction and are not on today's agenda. Speakers shall address their remarks to the board as a whole and not to individual board members or department personnel. There's no general public comment appearing. Item E, adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All commissioners in favor?
Aye.
Okay, the Abatement Appeals Board is now adjourned. It's 10:34 a.m. We'll take a 5-minute recess and reconvene as a Building Inspection Commission. Thank you.